Okay, welcome to January 7th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. So I've been talking for the last few days about possibly changing the name of the show, in addition to some of the other changes that I'm making to it. And I'm just having a heck of a time trying to come up with a name, actually. This is where your help would be appreciated. Should I leave the name the way it is? Should I just shorten it to Joe's Daily U.S. History? Or maybe name it to Joe's Daily U.S. History Nugget? U.S. History Insights by Joe? Joe's U.S. History Muses? U.S. History Flashes? I don't know. What do you think? Or do you have a better one? I'm hoping you do. Let me know on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thank you very much for that. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's program. America's first banker, Nicholas Biddle, is born. We'll wish a happy birthday to executive consultant legend Jay Abraham. Crazy Horse fights his last battle. And Marvin Yagoda, Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum, passes away. All right, so now here I go. 1786. Happy birthday, Nicholas Biddle. He was one of America's first bankers who died miserably. Why was he miserable? I'll get to that in a minute. Born and raised in Philadelphia, he graduated from Princeton at the top of his class at age 15. Yeah, one of those kids. He had a love for literature and economics and helped to detail the Louisiana Purchase as well as the Lewis and Clark Expedition. In 1812, he became editor for the Portfolio, the first U.S. literary journal. He married Jane Margaret Craig, an extremely wealthy heiress. He served as secretary for President James Monroe, a member of the Pennsylvania legislature, and an outspoken supporter of the First Bank of the United States. He wrote and published Pennsylvania's rejection of the Hartford Convention's constitutional amendment proposals to restrict the powers of Congress and the president. In 1819, President Monroe needed someone to lead the troubled Second Bank of the United States. After losing his two unsuccessful presidents, Monroe chose his old friend Biddle. Biddle was brilliant, known as the prototype of the modern business executive. He was in charge of the nation's money and interest rates. Until Andrew Jackson came into office and put an end to all that. Quote, "I have no hesitation to say if they can reach heart of the bank with this hydra of corruption, they will rule the nation and its charter will be perpetual and its corruption influence destroy the liberty of our country." Unquote. Like Old Hickory, Biddle was arrogant and didn't back down from a fight very easily. He refused to allow investigations of political interferences by bank branches during the 1928 election, and rather than try to work out a deal with the President of the United States, Biddle instead got his buddies in Congress to recharter the bank early in 1832. After Old Hickory vetoed it, and Congress couldn't override it, Biddle squeezed loans and credit. Yeah, maybe he did it to protect the bank. Maybe he did it to wage economic warfare. Either way, it caused a mild economic crisis big enough for Biddle to require armed guards at his door to protect him and his Philly house from mobs. Right there in 7th and Spruce. If only he had just made a deal with President Old Hickory, the Second Bank may have been saved. Later on, though he ran the Pennsylvania State Charter of a Commercial Bank, it didn't have nearly the thrill of the National Bank, and Biddle's downward spiral continued, authorizing bad loans and investments, and once tried to corner the market on cotton. Biddle retired from the banking business in 1839 and tried running for president against Martin Van Buren. The bank that Biddle left behind was unable to deal with the falling prices of cotton and collapsed in 1841, swallowing up Biddle's entire life's fortune. Slammed with lawsuits, Biddle faced criminal charges for his role in the cotton scheme, but would be exonerated. However, legal problems hounded him until the day he died in 1844. And that, my friends, is probably the main reason that Nicholas Biddle, one of America's first bankers, died miserably. 1949, Happy birthday, legendary mover and shaker Jay Abraham. Forbes has ranked Jay as one of the most effective executive consultants in the U.S. And why not? He started out by purchasing a fledgling arthritis cream company and transformed it into Icy Hot. And that was just getting started. According to Jay's website, he's coached over 10,000 businesses find their top dollar through 400 different industries by his strategy of creating lifelong customer relationships and other subtle areas to achieve maximum value. So for all you great American entrepreneurs out there, here's Jay's advice. Check this out. Every business owner deserves the right to learn how to increase sales, multiply their profiles, and mine every hidden asset and every overlooked opportunity in the world. Such is Jay's philosophy. The man doesn't just say it, he lives it. Happy birthday, Jay. 1877, Crazy Horse fights his last battle. Crazy Horse, who fought with Sitting Bull in the Battle of Little Bighorn against the U.S. forces, finally came to realize the fight was getting pointless. His people were low on ammunition, as well as food, and the winter cold blizzard raged. On January 8, 1877, the U.S. Army, led by General Miles, caught up with Crazy Horse's camp in Montana and opened fire. Crazy Horse and his group were able to retreat and seek shelter, but realized he was fighting a losing battle. 2017. Rest in peace, Marvin Yagoda. He's the ringleader behind Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum in Farmington Hills, Mississippi. The story dates back to his parents' drugstore, which opened in 1932. 5 years later, they purchased the property on the corner of Ardmore and Finkel. Then their son Marvin took over. It's probably a good thing that it was a pharmacy, since after visiting what Marvin did to it, you'll need a prescription of something or another for sure. It's a ginormous museum full of coin-operated animatronics, dummies, mechanical games, and pretty much anything else that's weird. Such as the actual electric chair from the Sing Sing prison. Talk about putting the fun and funeral and the host in hostage. Also, it boasts love and torture machines, which is, I guess, what mommy and daddy do while the kiddies are playing the pinball machines. I don't know. But one of the toys Marvin put is a giant Cardiff that allegedly P.T. Barnum tried to buy from him but was turned down. So, Barnum made his own replica. But here, you will see, my friends, the original giant Cardiff. So try not to have too much fun. Rest in peace, Marvin. 2017. Rest in peace, Marvin Yagoda. He's the ringleader behind Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum in Farmington Hills, Mississippi. The story dates back to his parents' drugstore, which opened in 1932. 5 years later, they purchased the property on the corner of Ardmore and Finkel. Then their son Marvin took over. It's probably a good thing that it was a pharmacy, since after visiting what Marvin did to it, you'll need a prescription of something or another for sure. It's a ginormous museum full of coin-operated animatronics, dummies, mechanical games, and pretty much anything else that's weird. Such as the actual electric chair from the Sing Sing prison. Talk about putting the fun and funeral and the host in hostage. Also, it boasts love and torture machines, which is, I guess, what mommy and daddy do while the kiddies are playing the pinball machines. I don't know. But one of the toys Marvin put is a giant Cardiff that allegedly P.T. Barnum tried to buy from him but was turned down. So, Barnum made his own replica. But here, you will see, my friends, the original giant Cardiff. So try not to have too much fun. Rest in peace, Marvin. Alright, so that is going to wrap it up for January 8th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what your thoughts are on today's ep. For example, what about Nicholas Biddle and that horrible death of his? Did he have it coming? Who's your favorite Forbes mover and shaker? Have you ever been to Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum? Did you survive? Or what about Crazy Horse? Tough warrior, or an indigenous American nuisance, or something else? So yeah, let me know on the Facebook page. And while you're on the website, you can also take a gander at some of the multiple choice questions. Good luck with those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. We'll wish a happy birthday to Richard Nixon. Plus, Thomas Paine publishes Common Sense. So don't miss that. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. And we will see you tomorrow.